You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 98.
Really just focusing with my acquisitions guy right now. And man, he's killing it. He's hungry and kind of got the same mindset like me. So it's really freed me up to work on other things.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, everybody. We got another masterclass coming at you here on the Flip Empire Show. And I want to kind of set the table here for what we're going to talk about and give you guys a little bit of context before I bring on today's guest, my buddy Josh Jordan. And Josh is somebody that I got to know. You guys may have heard in previous episodes, I attended Mark Evans' mastermind back in January, and really sharp group of guys that were in that mastermind. Josh was there, and we just kind of hit it off. We got to know each other. He's a young guy. I'll bring him on here in a second so he can kind of give you a little bit of his background. But Josh is just a cool guy. You know, he hasn't been in the business that long, and one of the nights Mark took us out to dinner at the Breakers Hotel, and you know, we were just having some drinks and we were eating, and Josh and I kind of struck up a conversation, and it was really cool all the different things that he was doing in his business. And again, from what I recall, he hasn't been in this business all that long, and you know, he was sharing with me how he basically has had his virtual assistant doing most of the heavy lifting in his business. And when I'm talking about most of the heavy lifting, I'm talking about locking up deals, getting them sold. And he was talking to me about, you know, some of the places he's traveled to and some travel plans that he has. And I thought it was just really cool. I wanted to have him on the show because, again, he's a young guy. I talk to so many people that experience challenges in this business, and Josh has kind of found what has worked for him. So again, I think that's the purpose of these masterclasses, for me to bring on experts. And there's no right or wrong, but you know, you kind of need to find what works for you. And hopefully something that Josh shares with you today is something that you can implement and test out in your business. So having said that, man, Josh, it's good to finally get you on the show, brother.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Awesome, dude. I've been looking forward to this one because, again, I think it's always cool when I can connect with people that have been able to automate, you know, their business to a certain degree. And I think you've certainly accomplished that. And that's not to say that you have everything figured out. It's not to say that I have everything figured out. You know, we're still going to have challenges and obstacles and things that happen. Sure. But to get to the point that you've gotten to, I wanted to just kind of peel back the curtain and have you, you know, share with the audience what your business looks like. First of all, when you got started, and then we can kind of dive into what your business looks like today, and then really get into the heart of the conversation, which is how people listening can, you know, find the right virtual assistant to, you know, do some of the heavy lifting in their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's definitely a work in progress. So, but it's working well, and it almost seems to change every day, really.
Yeah.
Learning so much from the people we surround ourselves by. So
definitely, man. Definitely. So when did you get, because again, I know I mentioned at the top of the show that from what I recall in our conversation, it's been, you know, several months now, but you didn't get started in this business too long ago, right?
Right. 2016 was my first full year. I left my job in September of 2015. I think I'd done two deals at that point.
Okay.
And I decided it was, the oil and gas business was kind of taking a dip, and it was a good time for me to just go full-fledged into the real estate, which is something I've been working towards for quite a while. So yeah, I had my first full year in 2016.
Sweet, so, man. And what did that first year look like for you in terms of, you know, kind of just getting the business off the ground? How many deals did you do?
Right. Well, it was definitely up and down, and, you know, not having a consistent income with the job. But the one thing that's nice about this business is when you do pop some deals, they can be pretty fruitful. But did 23 deals the first year, which I was thrilled about.
I awesome.
never really thought that would have happened when I was getting into it. But I owe that to my mentors and just getting the right people in place. And so it was up and down. You know, you had some great months, then some slow months. So I've really been trying to work on getting it consistent and keeping it keeping it flowing.
Yeah. Well, man, as you know, when we were at the mastermind with Mark, one, that was kind of the underlying theme. At least I felt that was one of the key takeaways was, that I've actually done some dedicated podcast shows on it is simplifying the business. And then how can we make it so that it's consistent? Right.
Absolutely.
And I think that was a challenge in the room for a lot of people. And there was a lot of good that came from the discussions and the conversations that we had, not only at the event, but, over drinks at dinner. And that's kind of how you and I started talking. Before we kind of get into, the process that you took and the path that you took in your first year to find a virtual assistant that has kind of given you some of this flexibility to travel and do some of the things that you enjoy doing, what would you attribute, doing 23 deals to? I mean, you kind of touched on it. Would you say it was primarily because of the coaches, mentors, and the people you surrounded yourself with? Or was there anything else that you would say, hey, look, that was probably a big contributing factor as to why I was able to do 23 deals in my first year?
Right. Well, I definitely have to say, I owe a lot of credit to my dad. He was a retired music professor and also a serial entrepreneur. But he told me, don't recreate the wheel. Find somebody who's doing what you want to do and learn from them. And it'll just crush your learning curve. Mm-hmm. And I really took that to heart. And I guess while I was still at my last job, I started working. I think I got Sean Terry's, his wholesaling module course, and I was working through that, and I was like, man, this is really powerful stuff, but I really need somebody to hold my hand through this.
Yeah.
If I'm really going to make a go of it, otherwise I'll be spinning my wheels trying to figure this out for years, it seems like. So I signed up with a coach, one-on-one coaching with Joe McCall, actually.
Okay.
And we started working through his modules and having our weekly coaching call, and he really helped me. One thing he always said was, the best automation is hiring a virtual assistant. Because so many people jump into Podio, and then there's just so many amazing things you can do with it.
Yeah.
And so I probably, if I hadn't spent so much time trying to figure out and really optimize Podio, I probably would have done more than that. Those 23 my first year, but so yeah. Is life. So.
Well, man, that I think that's the you kind of speak to the power of having a coach, and Joe's a good guy. He definitely knows his stuff. He's got a really cool podcast with Alex Youngblood. You guys, I want to encourage you to check out. And Joe's big on systems, automation, delegation, and I think that's kind of a perfect segue, or maybe we can pivot into, so you started working with Joe, you realized how important it is to have a virtual assistant in place, and one of the things, if you're listening, or for you listening in, is share with you a lot of the resources and a lot of what's worked for Josh are things that we want to share so that you can go out and implement and test in your business. Once you understood that you had to have a virtual assistant in place, first of all, was that the first team member that you had in place?
Yes, that was. And actually, rewinding a little bit, Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, changed the trajectory of my life a pretty good bit, probably 10 years or so ago. So I had used virtual assistants here and there on a smaller scale just to kind of get used to it, but I really didn't really have the opportunity to utilize them to their fullest until I got into the real estate business full-time.
Yep, well, you've obviously found somebody that is a rock star that works for you. Why do you think, what's kind of your opinion on why so many people struggle in this area in terms of, because man, I know for me, I've gone through several VAs, and it probably wasn't until my fifth or sixth one that I finally clicked in, and our virtual assistant has been with us, I think now for, I don't know, year and a half, however long it's been. And before that, my VA was with us for a couple of years. So, so we've had some longevity in that position. But awesome. Again, I've had my obstacles and my challenges with VAs that just didn't pan out. Why do you think people kind of struggle in that area? And then more importantly, what was the process that you took to find the right VA?
Right. Well, I think there's a misconception that you can just go out there and spend $3 or $4 an hour and hire a VA, and then they're just going to take it from there, and you don't really have to do anything. But really, you have to spend a lot of time training on the front end. And continually coaching and just working with them to keep them going. And I struggled with my first few VAs too. Now we're pretty well settled, but hopefully it continues to be that way. But you really got to put the time in, just as if it was a local employee you were working with.
Yeah. So when you say put the time in, you're talking about having, having a training agenda for them, knowing, you know, I know when I first hired my VA, it came because I read the 4-hour work week, and then I hired a VA, but I had no game plan in place. I just hired them and I'm like, all right, now what am I going to send you? I know I was supposed to hire you, but I didn't really know what to give them. And so there was a lot of downtime and they didn't have much direction, and it was their fault that they failed, not their fault, because I didn't have a game plan in place for them. What are some of the things you did before you hired this VA so that when they came on board they were up and running?
Well, basically we put together a little online manual. They're cool little Google Docs or a website you can put together where it's kind of like online SOP. But basically what I do is any of my training videos from any of my mentorships, coaching programs, I always start them out with that. So it's like, here's kind of the broad scope of what we're doing here. And then we break it down as far as really how to make an offer, how to talk to sellers, handling objections, things like that. And then we actually dig into the deals and really work through deals that we're going to. We do, the fake phone calls where I'm acting as if I'm the seller and
yeah,
vice
role
versa.
Playing. Mm-hmm.
Role playing. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So a lot of that. And, you know, when I first started hiring VAs, I felt like my biggest problem was myself running around trying to keep them busy. But it evolved and things really just start falling into place. You get your rhythm and get your processes down. Now the processes seem to change every day. I'm learning so much every day, especially in the mastermind with Mark. It's just mind explosions every minute. It felt like just learning about building businesses and things like that. So
yeah. Mark's a great guy, man. Super sharp. If you guys haven't had the opportunity to check out that episode, I want to say it's episode 76. I had him on. So if you go to flipempire.com/episode76, I also had the opportunity to kind of do a rolling with the DM episode with him. Cruising around in his Rolls Royce up and down.
Nice.
A1A. So that was anytime you can.
Sweet.
Yeah. Like, you know, man, anytime you have an opportunity to surround yourself with high level thinkers, high achievers, you grow so much as a person, as an entrepreneur. And I think that's what I love about you, man, is that you figured that on like right out of the gate, primarily because, you know, you had your dad who you mentioned was a serial entrepreneur and he cut that learning curve for you. For me, man, it took probably about 2 years until I actually hired a coach and a mentor. And even though I experienced some success out of the gate, I also, like, you know, I banged my head on several deals, lost some money, you know, had some headaches that probably could have avoided if I would have had somebody holding my hand.
Sure.
Yeah, man. So as far, just to kind of backtrack a few steps here, as far as the process you went to even locate a VA, I mean, there's so many services out there now. Can you talk about some of the places that you recommend people can go to locate a VA once they understand that they have to have certain systems in place, they have to have a training game plan in place for them, and they've
right.
identified what it is that they want to outsource and delegate, where can they actually go to try to find this rockstar VA?
Right. Well, I've had the most luck with Upwork, and I'm trying to think of what it used to be called, but it's kind of like an online platform.
Yeah,
almost.
It used to be
Odesk. Odesk, that's right. Yeah. So had a lot of luck there. Really, it all starts with getting your job description put together, and then you post an ad on there and you start getting applicants. And there are some services out there that I had some luck with IVAS in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But mainly Upwork is really where I'm having most of my luck now.
Okay. Perfect. And something that you mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago is you talked about there's a misconception that people think they can find VAs for $3-4 an hour. Can you kind of elaborate on what you meant by that?
Well, yeah, I guess you just hear that you can go hire a VA but you really get what you pay for. And when it comes to, you can go out there and probably get a $2-4 VA, and they're going to be good at doing kind of just data mining, processing, scrubbing lists, and things like that. But when if you want, but when you're talking about handling phone calls with sellers and even buyers, sometimes you really want somebody that has really good English and that can make a connection and build rapport with the individuals. Because, as you know, in this business, a lot of times sellers are very kind of hesitant and don't have quite have a level of trust when we make initial contact and keep touching them. So it's really important to have somebody that speaks great English, really, and really that's the most important thing. But
okay. And are you recommending a local VA or is your VA overseas?
My VA is overseas right now. Since the mastermind with Mark, I've now got a local acquisitions guy working with me, and we're starting to really get some traction there. And wow, that's really changing the business too. So at this point, I'm also going to be hiring a local assistant as well.
Okay.
To help on the phones. But I'm learning, you know, you can only kind of take it one step at a time. I tried hiring the acquisitions guy and another phone person, and it was just too much for me to handle
at first.
So really just focusing with my acquisitions guy right now. And, man, he's killing it. He's hungry and kind of got the same mindset like me. So it's really freed me up to work on other things.
That's great, man. That's great. Dude, I love kind of witnessing your growth. You know, I got to know you, 3 months ago, and it was basically just you and your VA, which was all good because, I know we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, how your VA was doing a lot for you in your business. But it's great to see you grow and just kind of take a lot of what you learned at that mastermind, implemented, and now you're starting to see results and, like you said, gain some traction. So hats off to you, man. That's great, dude.
Thank you, Alex.
Question for you, man. What are some of the things that you outsource to your virtual assistant? Like, talk to me about what's a typical day/week for your VA? Because again, I know you like to travel and you know, over dinner you were sharing with me that, yeah, it's kind of crazy because my VA was basically I don't want to like put words in your mouth, but it kind of sounded like your VA did a lot in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it started with basically just ordering, getting the marketing going and taking some seller calls. But at one point I was like, listen, you're capable. I want you to start locking up contracts. So not only, well, just to break it down. So on Mondays, we send out our weekly scorecard. And so we can review our numbers from the previous week, you know, how many new leads came in, how many sellers we talked to, how many offers were sent out, things like that. And so basically, and also on Mondays, we send out our marketing. So she handles all that. So like I say, the best automation is hiring a virtual assistant. So she sends out all the marketing. I don't deal with any of that. And so that's automated and consistent there. Now there have been times in the past when the leads come in and then the deal flow is just so heavy that I've had to say, hey, let's hold back on the marketing, which I've found to be a huge mistake and a big learning moment, because I had some major dips, as I'm sure you've experienced too.
Yeah, dude, I was actually just going to tackle you through the mic here and tell you, shake you, like, don't ever do that again. don't slow down on that marketing, man. I've made that mistake as well.
Oh, yeah. So I learned that lesson real well earlier this year too. So, but yeah, so anyway, the marketing consistent, and then she handles the seller calls. Now for a while we can't, the business kind of changes and evolves. So for a while she would do the initial pre-screening, and any warm leads or people that obviously wanted to sell, she would go ahead and prepare and run all the numbers and shoot me over an email, and I would follow up with those people and close up the deal. But then it got to the point where I'm good at kind of over from a high level view of handling things. But when it gets down to the nitty gritty and having to stay consistent on the seller calls and things like that, I started dropping the ball. So I was like, listen, I need you to step up and let's just start locking up some contracts. And that's exactly what's been happening. So,
Josh, is this a VA that came to you with a real estate background or any type of experience, or was this just, like, did you have to train them essentially from the ground up?
I've had a couple. Yeah, definitely had some real estate experience. Worked for a realtor for a while. Not so much on the investment side. So I had to train on that with regards to, you know, making our cash offers and things like that. But they pick up pretty quickly. But it's all about hiring the right one and getting the job description dialed in on the front end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does that look like then, man? Because if I'm kind of putting myself in the shoes of somebody listening, whether they're at the gym or wherever, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about, especially if you've had some challenges in hiring the right VA, is how did you, because it sounds like it was a pretty seamless, effortless process for you to find this person, get them trained, get them up and running. And you know, that's at least from my experience in talking to people, that's not the typical, you know, course or process that it, you know, people go through when trying to find the right VA. You know, you talked about having the right job description and finding the right person. Maybe we kind of need to dive into that a little more because aside from the type of training you gave them, that really sounds like the secret sauce in this process, at least as it relates to you and the VA that you found is, talk to us about your job description, the hiring process, and how you located that right person.
Right. Well, with the job description, basically, what I did was I just flipped through Upwork, and I found some other pretty stellar job descriptions, and I just kind of, you know, the whole don't recreate the wheel. And Joe McCall has some good resources on that stuff too, but just really dialing it down and being very clear with what you're doing, where you're going, and what they'd be doing on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And then throwing some things in there too, like when you reply, only reply between 2 and 6 Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And just a couple things so they're not just going through their blasting applications to everybody they see, but they're actually taking the time, can follow directions, things like that. Even something as simple as, hey, put a smiley face at the end of the subject line when you reply to this. So those are some initial screeners that just weed some of the people out that don't pay attention to detail and things like that. So
yeah, I love it. And just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, because I'm a big advocate of definitely doing that, is, you know, whenever you're hiring, you want to make the applicants jump through some hoops. I remember years ago, man, when I first started hiring, I would basically just put an ad out there, and then I would get absolutely bombarded with just lazy ass people that would just email me their resume and nothing else. And I was so damn dumb and naive at that time that I would actually take the time to go through their resume and respond. And I quickly realized that A, I had created a job for myself. B, it was not efficient. And it was just stupid of me. I must have had 40, 50 resumes within like a 48-hour period. And here I am, reading these resumes. And then I quickly learned that you got to make these applicants jump through some hoops to narrow down the applicant pool. And so, you know, one of the things that we do in our business is we have a simple web form, a Podio link that has some, you know, questions that they have to answer. And then at the end, we ask them to submit a 2 to 3 minute video of themselves, basically introducing themselves and selling themselves to us as to why they want this position and why we should consider them. And what I find is that most people are not going to submit the questionnaire and then B, actually take the time to record the video. And what's cool about it is sometimes we just assume that these people have the basic technical know-how, right, of recording a video, uploading it to Dropbox or YouTube or Google Drive. And depending on the position that you want to hire, you know, people need a basic level of understanding of some of these things. I mean, I'll give you an example, man. Years ago, I hired somebody that did not know how to attach a file to an email.
Oh, gosh.
And that reflects as bad as me as it does on them, because I just assumed that they would know, like have some of this basic knowledge. And so I want to highlight what you're talking about, because you want to put people through, make them jump through hoops, but kind of put them through a little bit of a test. You know, like you said, only respond between this time and this time. Why is that important? Because you're testing their ability to follow instructions. And if they're not following instructions on the front end, they're certainly not going to do it when you hire them.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, to the degree that you can put some of these hoops and some of these tests in place, you definitely want to do that. Otherwise, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure.
There's no doubt about it. That's a gold nugget. I love the video idea.
Yeah, dude, you definitely want to do that because, no, now you get to actually see somebody, how they communicate. Did they actually take the time to do it? How much thought did they put into it? I mean, there's just so much that comes from that. So yeah, man, I definitely want to encourage you to do that going forward with all your positions.
Absolutely. Definitely going to add that in there.
Cool, man. Cool. Okay, man. So as far as your job description, you kind of took the approach of model, but not copy, like just kind of, you know, seeing what resonated with you out there in Upwork.
Right. Exactly. And really what it boils down to is handling some of the administrative stuff. But, you know, it's really heavy on the phone work. So,
yeah,
you know, and try to state it really clearly that you're going to be making 50 to 70 outbound phone calls on every day. Now, they're not necessarily going to talk to that many people, but, you know, that's a pretty big thrust of the whole position.
Right, right. So how many hours a day is your virtual assistant working for you?
Eight hours a day, full time.
Okay, so this is a full time VA. You mind? You don't have to share exactly what you're paying, but just kind of a range.
Right, and the $7 to $9 an hour.
Okay.
And then pretty good bonus structure per deal that close.
What does that look like for them?
That range is anywhere from $100 a deal up to $350.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah. And I love anytime you can incentivize your team, you want to do it because, you know, a lot of people are driven by, wanting to be recognized. A lot of people are driven by money. And so whenever you can incentivize them through some sort of bonus structure, I always think it's a good idea. They're going to want to push and go the extra mile for you when they might not necessarily have the desire to do so because they're tired or because whatever the case might be. When they have that in place, you want to make sure that you're rewarding your team financially, but that you also recognize their good work. You know, sometimes just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's critical. And that's something that sometimes I hear people not doing. And then your team member, your employee, they don't feel appreciated. And if you find the right person, you got to make sure that you hold on to them and that you... you know, that you want this person to grow with your team and with the culture of your business.
Right. Absolutely. And ideally, hopefully you'd be able to hold on to people forever when you get the right people in the right position, take good care of them, make sure they're achieving their goals and they're going to help you achieve yours. Just like Mark says, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Bingo. So, dude, so you found the right person. Did it take you a while to finally decide on someone, or were you kind of, you know, did you feel like you were kind of lucky that you didn't have to go through a bunch of bad VAs to get to a really, really good one?
Well, I've probably had 6 or 7 VAs now, and I've definitely had some good ones. So I've had some success, but in the very beginning it was, you know, I guess I kind of fell into that mold of, you know, thinking you can hire somebody and then they're just going to be able to handle things for you without you having to put much time into it. But I definitely had my growing pains there as well.
As have I. You have to have a level of accountability in place. You can't just kind of set it and forget it. It doesn't work that way.
Right. So having goals and then, you know, helping them, giving them whatever they need to achieve them, and then verifying and, you know, make sure they're hitting them. And if not, you know, what can we work on? Where do we need to either have some training or work, and, you know, just taking it from there.
Right. I got it. Cool, man. Well, let's do this, man. Let's kind of start to wrap up the conversation here. I'd like to try to, you know, recap some of the key takeaways here for people. Let's assume that either, you know, somebody listening in has not hired a virtual assistant, or they have, but they just haven't had some success yet. Can you kind of break it down in a step one, step two, step three of what you would recommend they do to A, locate the right person, and then B, make sure that they set them up for success once they onboard them?
Right. Well, one, I think you want to write down everything in your business that you're doing and the things that you don't like to do that you're not good at staying on top of. Get everything out down on a piece of paper. And really for me, I'm kind of one of the – I had to dip my toes in the water a little bit. For instance, in the past, when I first started hiring VAs, something as simple as taking a PDF document and typing it into a Word document that I could manipulate the text was something that I hired out a good bit in the past. And that just got me comfortable with the whole process.
Yep.
But really just getting things down on paper that you want to hand off, and setting goals, and then creating that job description. And then also, like you said, putting in those hoops that they have to jump through, whether it's a smiley face at the end of the text or the video. I just love that idea. I'm definitely going to be implementing that moving forward.
Cool, man.
But then also, it's just so important to schedule time, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So
exactly.
Got to spend some time on the front end training, and you know, consistently throughout.
Yeah, and that's really, Josh, man, my opinion, my, you know, based on what my experience has told me, that goes across any position that you hire, is, you know, you got to invest time into your team if you want them to succeed, and ultimately have your business succeed. So, you know, at the very minimum, a weekly training. And when you're onboarding them, it's pretty much like a daily process. And you know, if you're just getting started hiring people, you want to record this training and tweak and refine it as you go on, so that now you have a training system for whenever you hire that position again in the future.
Exactly. And that's another thing. As you show them stuff to do, have them document it and write an SOP for it.
Bingo. Yep. That's actually probably my favorite way of documenting our systems, is I will record a screen capture video, and then I will kick it over to my virtual assistant. I'll say, hey, listen, watch this. And then I want you to create an SOP in Word with, you know, screenshots and arrows and call outs, and make it so simple that, you know, I always tell my VAs, the goal is that a 15-year-old could go through this and successfully accomplish the task. And so at first, my SOPs were like paragraphs, almost like a damn novel. And then I realized that it has to be like bullet points, like just step one, step two, step three kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I've heard you mention it on prior podcasts, but Voxer is such a great tool.
Oh, I love Voxer.
Yeah, I use that heavily.
Yeah, you know, basically Voxer is a free app that you can download if you're not familiar, if you've never heard of it. It's kind of like it's a walkie-talkie. You know, it's almost like Nextel, but on your smartphone. So you click a button and you can send them an audio message. You can use it like you would text with anyone else. You can forward messages. It can transcribe messages for you. And that's the free version. I think if you pay the $2-3 a month, which I do, you can use it for, you know, group voxing with my team, which I do all the time.
Awesome.
So cool, man. Josh, brother, any parting words, man? One of the things I definitely want you to, you know, to mention here is, if people want to connect with you, if I don't know if you mind, if they have any questions as far as anything virtual assistant related, or, you know, how you were able to kind of get your VA to kind of drive a lot of your business and close deals for you while you travel and do some of those things. You mind if people kind of reach out to you?
Absolutely. You can reach me by email. It's boomtownrei@gmail.com.
Okay.
My website will probably be up by the time this is posted. It's boomtownandbest.com. Feel free to reach out. I'm happy to chat. I'm kind of an open book. I think the more you share and give, the more that comes back to you. The whole secret to living is giving.
Definitely.
I think you shared that one with me, and I've been living with it every day since. So.
Oh, that's great, man. I love that quote. I got that, and I can't take credit. I got that from Tony Robbins, but I absolutely love that quote.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah. But really, I guess my parting words would just be to not reinvent the wheel and try to find a good mentor and somebody who can help you in the process. Because it can be tough in the beginning, and highs and lows. But if you can crush that learning curve, you're just going to get to success that much faster.
That's awesome, buddy. Well, hey, man, thanks for being an open book. Thanks for jumping on and sharing what's worked with you. And again, that's, you know, I want to stress the fact, guys, is myself included, you know, whenever you hear people like Josh or other experts we've had in the past, it doesn't mean, you know, that we have our shit figured out all the time. There's, you know, we go through challenges and obstacles just like you and anybody else. But I think the key is that we try to stay consistent. We simplify the business and we keep going. We learn from the failures, the things that don't work. And you know, most of the time we don't make the same mistake more than once. So anyway, just wanted to kind of, you know, end on that note. Josh, I appreciate you, buddy. I know you and I will stay in contact, and I look forward to catching you guys on the upcoming Q&A show.
For sure. And keep up the great work with this podcast. It's awesome. You deliver a lot of great content, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Alex. Take care, buddy.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.